This week's Parsha is Parsha's Vayeshanan, and we'll start our Shir in the beginning of the Parsha, chapter 3, verse 23. Vayeshanan el Hashem, I entreated to Hashem, I prayed to Hashem, Bo'ezahi, at that time, Leimor is saying. We're first going to ask, why is it necessary to say, Vayeshanan, I prayed el Hashem to Hashem, Bo'ezahi? You could have just said, Veshanon, I prayed, Bo'ezahi, at that time, Leimor is saying. And then the Pasuk continues in Pasuk number 24 and says, Adonai Elohim. The Pasuk is written with the name of Hashem, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, the way we say it. And then Yudke, Vavke, the name of Hashem, which denotes Rachamim, which normally it's read, Adonai, but when you put it together, with the word Adonai before, it's read Elohim. So he chooses the written name of Hashem and the spoken name of Hashem. Why Moshe Rabbeinu specifically used during this prayer the name of Hashem, Adonai Elohim? Then the Apostle continues, Ato Achiloiso, you started Laharois as Avdecho, to show your servant as Godlecho, your greatness, Vesyotcho Chazoko, and your strong hand. Asher mikel b'shamayim, that there is no God in heaven, uva'aretz, and earth, asher yase, that will do k'masecho u'chagviroisecho, that could do like your action and like your strength. And then the Pasuk continues in Pasuk number 25 and says, Ebrono, please let me pass, ve'eretz oretz atoivo, and let me see the good land, asher be'evera yardein, that is in the other side of the Jordan River, Ahar Atoivaze, this good mountain, Valvanoin, and Rash explains Levanon means the Beis Hamikdash. The good mountain is Yerushalayim, and Levanon is not Lebanon, but Levanon is the Beis Hamikdash, which the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Lametes, explains. The reason that the Beis Hamikdash is called Levanoin is because the Beis Hamikdash whitens the sins of the Jewish people. That Levanon comes from the language white, and it means to say that through the sacrifices that we bring in the Beis Hamikdash, our sins are forgiven. Therefore, it makes our sins white. As the Pasuk in Yeshaya, chapter 1, verse 18 says, Lechuno, let us go, v'nivakacho, and let us reason, Yomer Hashem, so Hashem say, Imiyu chatoechem kashonim, if your sins are going to be like scarlet, then kashedek yalbinu, they'll become white as snow. If they'll become red as crimson, then katzemer iu, they'll become like white wool. From this pasuk you see that when your sins are forgiven, it's called they become white. And since through the sacrifices that we bring in the Beis Hamikdash, in the Holy Temple, our sins will be forgiven, therefore Moshe Rabbeinu calls the Beis Hamikdash Levanoin, because the Beis Hamikdash whitens our sins. We know it is proper before you make a request in front of Hashem, as Lahavdil, in front of a king, you are required to give him words of praise and then make the request. In the same way that we follow this formula in our weekday Shmonesre, weekday silent prayer, where we first praise Hashem and then we start making our personal requests by the fourth bracha, by the fourth blessing. And that is why Moshe Rabbeinu is first giving words of praise in front of Hashem, and only afterwards he makes the request that he wants to cross over and see the land. But why specifically did Moshe Rabbeinu use these words, that you have started to show your servant your greatness and your strong arm, that there is no God in heaven on earth that could do like your action and like your strength? Why did he use specifically this praise in order to make his request? What is the connection between the praise that Moshe Rabbeinu gives and the request that he wants to cross over and see the land, and he wants to see the place of Yerushalayim and the Beis Hamikdash? And then we are going to ask, once Moshe Rabbeinu makes the request that he wants to cross over the land, meaning going to Eretz Israel, then obviously he is going to see the good land, which is in the other side of the Jordan. Why does he make a separate request? Let me cross over and see the land. Clearly, if he crosses over, he sees the land. The Baal Turim on the word Levanoin notes that Levanoin is written without a vav, meaning that normally should be a vav between the last two nuns of Levanoin, but here in the Torah, Levanoin is written without a vav. So the Baal Turim explains why is it written without a vav. Al Shem Shisha Dvorim, because of the six things that is written in Parshas Tzav Vayikra, chapter 7, verse 37, where there it says, Zoisa Torah, this is the law, La'oila, for the lavation offering, La Mincha, for the flour offering, Velachatos, for the sin offering, Velaosham, and for the guilt offering, Velamiluim, for the inauguration offering, Ulezevach HaShlomim, and for the peace offering. It's listed there, six offerings, Oila, Mincha, Chatos, Osham, Miluim, and Zevach HaShlomim. Vav has the numerical value of six. Because of these six things listed in that pasuk, therefore it's missing here the letter Vav. The question is, what is the point of writing here missing the letter Vav? Quite opposite. Moshe Rabbeinu wants to see the Beis HaMikdash. Obviously, he wants to see the Beis HaMikdash standing. Then we will have a Vav. Then why specifically here the Torah decided, according to the Baal Turim, to remove the Vav to signify these six sacrifices that are brought in the Beis HaMikdash? We would have thought that Moshe Rabbeinu wants to see the Levanoin, therefore it should be complete with the Vav, not missing the Vav. Sefer Shemeroish wants to answer all these questions based on a Gemara in Erchin, Daf Lamed Beis, Amed Beis 32b. There the Gemara is analyzing the Pasuk in Nehemiah, chapter 8, verse number 17, where the Pasuk there says, Vayasu kol hakol ha-shavim min ha-shevi, that the whole congregation that came back from the captivity did sukkos, sukkos, vayeshvu besukkos, and they dwell in sukkos, ki layasu, because they didn't do mimei Yeshua bin Nun, came b'nei Yisrael, ad ha-yom hazeh, from the days of Yeshua bin Nun, so didn't the Jewish people do until this day. Vatehi simcha gadoila me'oedin, it was a great rejoicing. It was a great simcha, great rejoicing that they did sukkos. Meaning that the pasuk is saying that the Jewish people dwelled in sukkos after they came back from captivity, meaning after the 70 years of exile, and now we are at the beginning of the second temple. They dwelled in sukkos and they rejoiced because they didn't do sukkos from the days of Yeshua bin Nun until this day. Meaning, simply, that from the days of Yeshua bin Nun, they didn't do sukkos until this day, which is the days of Ezra, which is approximately 1,000 years after Yeshua. The Gemara asks a question, Asher bar David, is it possible that David HaMelech came, veloy also sukkos, and they didn't do sukkos, ad shebo Ezra, until Ezra came? How is it possible that people didn't do sukkos from the days of David HaMelech until the days of Ezra? The simple interpretation of the Gemara is that the Gemara is wondering, how is it possible that we had all these prophets come around? We had Shmuel HaNavi, and we had all these judges during the days of Shoftim, and we had more prophets later on until the days of Ezra. How is it possible that none of them did sukkos? Because the pasuk literally means to say that they didn't do sukkos from the days of Yeshua bin Nun until the days of Nehemiah, the days of Ezra. Only then they did sukkos and there was a great rejoicing. Then the Gemara asks, how is it possible that all this time they didn't dwell on sukkos? Just as a side note, the Marsha asks a question, why did the Gemara pick specifically on David HaMelech? The Gemara says, Efsher, but David v'loy also sukkos, is it possible that David HaMelech came and didn't do sukkos? Why didn't the Gemara pick on people that came before David HaMelech? We know all the judges came before David HaMelech, and Shmuel HaNavi, the prophet, also came before David HaMelech. King Shaul, where the Gemara says that he was like a young man without sin before he became king, also came before David HaMelech. Then why doesn't Gemara ask a question, is it possible that Shmuel and Shaul came and didn't do sukkos? Why did Gemara pick specifically as an unbelievable factor that David HaMelech would come and not do Sukkos. The Marsho answers that since we have a rule that Torud Potur Min HaSukkah, that if you're busy at war, then you are exempt from Sukkos, from dwelling in Sukkos. Therefore, up to the end of David HaMelech's life, the Jewish people were always involved in wars. But at the end of David HaMelech's life, there is written that there was a menucha, that there was rest from all the wars. At that point, the whole Jewish population became obligated on Sukkos. Is it possible that at the time of David HaMelech, they didn't do Sukkos? Obviously, everybody did Sukkos in the time of David HaMelech. Could be that not everybody did the mitzvah of Sukkah in the time of Shmuel and Shaul because they were involved in wars. But at the time of David HaMelech, there was no more wars. How is it possible that people didn't sit in Sukkos? Obviously, the pasuk means to say something deeper, because it's impossible for us to believe that the people did not sit in Sukkos. The Gemara there gives two answers on this question, but we are going to focus on the second answer of the Gemara. The Gemara says ve'idoch, and the second answer is the boy rachme al yetzer davoy dezora ubotle, that they prayed on the yetzer hara of idolatry, and they were able to cancel out the evil inclination of idolatry. The whole story is written in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Samach Dalet Omed Aleph, 64a, where there the Gemara is analyzing the pasuk in Nehemiah chapter 9, where the pasuk says Vayzaku b'kol godol, that they prayed in a loud voice El Hashem Elokeim, to Hashem their God. The Gemara asks a question: Mayi Omru, what they say? Omar Rav Yehuda v'item Rav Yonasan. Rav Yehuda says, and some say Rav Yonasan said, that as soon as they encountered the evil inclination of idolatry, they cried, "Vai, vai!" This is what caused the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, the burning of the house of Hashem, caused the righteous to die, and caused the exile of the Jewish people from the land. And that inclination is still dancing around us, meaning we are still feeling the inclination for idolatry. The only reason that Hashem gives us evil inclination is because Hashem wants to reward us when we are able to overcome those inclinations. Meaning that since we have free will and we overcome through our free will the inclination to do evil, then Hashem is able to reward us for our actions. But here, when we built the second temple, they saw how strong the evil inclination of idolatry was and how the people really aren't able to overcome it. Therefore, they decided that they don't need the evil inclination and they are willing to forgo the reward when they are able to overcome that inclination. Meaning, don't give us the inclination and we are willing to forgo the reward. The Gemara says that they fasted 3 days and prayed that the evil inclination should leave. And then they found a piece of paper that's written Emes, truth. Emes, truth, is the signature of Hashem, which meant to say that Hashem is willing to accept their prayer to cancel out the evil inclination of idolatry. The Gemara says that they saw like a small line of fire coming out of the Holy of Holies. The prophet told them that this is the evil inclination of idolatry. They were able to get it. The evil inclination was crying to Hashem for being caught. They were afraid that Hashem will eventually answer the prayer of that evil inclination of idolatry. They put it in a lead box in order to muffle its sound, and they were able to cancel out the evil inclination of idolatry. Now the Gemara in Erechin says that it does not mean that the Jewish people literally did not make Sukkos. The Gemara says that since in the days of Ezra the Jewish people prayed that it should shelter them from the evil inclination of idolatry, then the Jewish people dwelt in Sukkos in the same way that Sukkos is supposed to remind you of the clouds of glory which sheltered you from the elements. So too, in the days of Ezra, the Jewish people were sheltered from the evil inclination of idolatry like a sukkah, like the sukkah that shelters us from the elements, which didn't happen from the days of Yeshua ben Nun. The Gemara says, why did they pick Yehoshua ben Nun? Why didn't they pick that this didn't happen from any other time? The Gemara explains that since Yeshua ben Nun was our first prophet, he should have prayed as soon as he came into Eretz Yisrael that the evil inclination of idolatry should be removed. Since he did not pray that the evil inclination should be removed, he was faulted. Therefore, here in Nehemiah, the name Yehoshua ben Nun, it's written missing a hey. Normally, Yehoshua is written Yod Hey Vav Shin Ayin. And here in this verse in Nehemiah, Yehoshua is written Yud Shin Vav Ayin, missing the hey. Why is it missing the hey? To teach you that in the times of Ezra, they faulted Yehoshua ben Nun for not praying that the evil inclination of idolatry should be removed. The Gemara asks, Yeshua wasn't our first prophet. Our first prophet was Moshe Rabbeinu. Then why don't you fault Moshe Rabbeinu for not praying that the evil inclination of idolatry be removed? The Gemara answers that, Bishloime Moshe Rabbeinu, I understand why he didn't pray, because he didn't have the merit of Eretz Yisrael. Meaning that Moshe Rabbeinu never came into Eretz Yisrael, therefore he doesn't have the merit of being in Eretz Yisrael. He cannot pray that the evil inclination of idolatry be removed. But Yehoshua ben Nun, who came into Eretz Yisrael, he should have prayed that the evil inclination of idolatry should be removed, and he didn't pray, therefore he was faulted. Sefer Shemen Rosh says, from that Gemara we could learn two things. One, we could learn that the reason for the destruction of the temple was because of the sin of idolatry, because since the Anshe Knesset HaGedolah said that this is what destroyed the Beis HaMikdash and caused the exile, then obviously we see that the main reason for the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash was the sin of idolatry. And the second thing we could assume from that Gemara, says Sefer Shemen Rosh, is that if Moshe Rabbeinu would have come into Eretz Yisrael, then he would have had the merit of Eretz Yisrael. For sure, Moshe Rabbeinu would have cancelled the evil inclination of idolatry. The only reason that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't do it is because he didn't come into Eretz Yisrael. Had Moshe Rabbeinu come into Eretz Yisrael, then he would have cancelled the evil inclination of idolatry. And that is exactly how the Maaseh Rokeach explains the Pasuk later on in our Parsha. Verse number 22, where the Pasuk says, Ki anochi meis be'eretz hazois, I'm dying in this land, einenu over es hayarden, I am not crossing over the Jordan, ba'atem oivrim, and you are crossing over, virishtem es haaretz hatova hazois, and you are going to inherit this good land. And right afterwards the Pasuk says, Ishomri lochem, be very careful, pentishkechu es bris Hashem Elokeichem, lest you forget the covenant of Hashem your God, asher korasi mochem, that He made with you, v'asisem lochem pesel t'munas koil, and you are going to make an idol, image of anything, asher tzivcha Hashem Elokeichem, that Hashem commanded you not to do, meaning that be careful when you cross over the Jordan, that you shouldn't do idolatry. The Rokeach asks, what is the connection between the two statements? Meaning, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying that I'm dying here, I'm not crossing over the Jordan, but you are going to inherit Eretz Israel, be careful not to do idolatry. What is the connection if Moshe Rabbeinu not going over to Eretz Israel and the Jewish people doing idolatry? The Rokeach answers, based on this Gemara, that Moshe Rabbeinu is saying that if I would have gone over to Eretz Israel, I don't have to warn you about idolatry, because then I would have cancelled out the evil inclination of idolatry. But since now I am not going over to Eretz Israel, therefore I have to warn you, be very careful of doing idolatry, because since I can't cancel it, then you are susceptible to idolatry. Therefore, he is warning them to be very careful about the sin of idolatry. Sefer Shemen Rosh now brings the Gemara in Psachim, Daf Nun Amed Aleph 50a, where the Gemara there says, what is the meaning of the Pasuk in Zechariah chapter 14, verse number 9, where the Pasuk says, Vayu Hashem lemelech al kol ha'aretz, Hashem will be king over the whole land, Bayom ahu, in that day, Yehi Hashem echad, Hashem will be one, Ushmo echad, and His name will be one. The Gemara asks, Ato ha'idno laf shmo echad, now Hashem's name is not one. What does it mean that in the future Hashem will be one and His name will be one? Now Hashem's name is also one. Omar Rav Nachman Baritzog, Rav Nachman Baritzog says, Loi ko'olam hazeh ho'olam haba. that this world is not like the world to come. Ha'olam hazeh, in this world, Hashem's name is written be'yudkei vavkei. In other words, Hashem's name is written yudkei vavkei be'nikra b'alav dalet, but we do not read the name of Hashem yudkei vavkei. We read the name of Hashem Adne, which is Adonai. But in the world to come, meaning when Moshiach will come, will have the world to come, Kulo Echot will have the name of Hashem one and the pronunciation of the name one. Nichtav Bayutkei will read the name of Hashem Yutkei Vavkei, the Nikra Bayutkei, and will be able to read it in Yutkei. And the simple interpretation of this Gemara is that any time the word Yutkei Vavkei appears, we are required to have two intentions. We require to have the intention of what is written, which signifies Hashem is, was, and will be, Haya Hoive Veya, meaning that Hashem is timeless, and that is a very hard concept to understand. And we are also supposed to have the intention of the way we read it, which is supposed to signify Adon Hakol, that Hashem is the master of everything. And that's why we pronounce it Adonai, which signifies that he's the master of everything. But in the future, when everybody is going to recognize the oneness of Hashem, then Hashem's name will be pronounced the same way that it's written, that Hashem was, is, and is going to be. Because then everybody will be able to understand that Hashem is timeless. Therefore, in the future, we are going to write Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, and we are going to read Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. Sefer Shemen Rosh then brings the famous Medrash Shoichar Toiv Ayin Tes, which goes on the Pasuk in Tehillim, chapter 79, verse number 1 of the Pasuk. There says, Mizmor le'Asaf, a song to Asaf, Elohim Hashem, boy, goyim nachlasecho, nations came into your heritage, Timu as Heichal Kochecho, they profaned your holy temple. The Medrash asks, how can you say, Mizmor le'Asaf, a song to Asaf? It should be Kino le'Asaf, a lamentation to Asaf, because the Pasuk is saying how the nations of the world destroyed the temple. How can you sing? And the Medrash answers that we are singing that Hashem directed his wrath over Eitzim Vavonim, stones and wood, and did not direct his anger over the people. Meaning that Hashem was angry at the Jewish people, and Hashem, instead of destroying the Jewish people, decided to destroy the temple instead. Therefore, we are singing Mizmor le'Asaf, a song to Asaf, that Hashem directed his anger towards the temple and did not direct his anger towards the people. The Rachaim HaKodesh in Devarim, chapter 1, verse number 37, where he says there, Vaisaber Hashem bi lemanchem, that Hashem became angry at me because of you. The Rachaim explains how was it that Hashem became angry at Moshe Rabbeinu because of the Jewish people. The Rachaim HaKodesh explains that if Moshe Rabbeinu would have gone into Eretz Yisrael, then Moshe Rabbeinu would have built the Beis HaMikdash. If Moshe Rabbeinu builds the Beis HaMikdash, then the Beis HaMikdash cannot be destroyed. Because the Gemara in Sota Daf Tes Amud Aleph 9a says that David in Moshe lo shaltu soneim b'masa yodeim, that the enemies could not rule over the handicraft, meaning whatever they built was never destroyed or taken away by their enemies, it stayed there forever. The Gemara says that regarding what David HaMelech built, it's written in Eichot chapter 2, Tova Ba'oretz Shoreo, that it was sung on earth its gates. We know that David HaMelech could not build the Beis HaMikdash, but nonetheless, he donated the gates to the Beis HaMikdash. And since he donated the gates to the Beis HaMikdash, those gates were never destroyed. It was just sung on earth. Why? Because anything that David HaMelech built could not be ruled by the enemies. So too the Gemara brings that the Mishkan was never taken by our enemies. After it was retired, after the Beis HaMikdash was built, was hidden away, and it was never taken by our enemies. Why? Because anything that Moshe Rabbeinu built could not be taken by enemies and could not be destroyed. The Or HaChaim HaKodesh continues and says that if Moshe Rabbeinu builds the Beis HaMikdash and the Beis HaMikdash cannot be destroyed and Chas V'Sholom Hashem gets angry at the Jewish people, then Hashem cannot direct his anger over the building, since the building cannot be destroyed. Then Hashem cannot destroy the Beis HaMikdash and become appeased by it, because Moshe Rabbeinu built the Beis HaMikdash. Then Hashem would have to direct his anger at the Jewish people. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu is telling the Jewish people, that Hashem got angry at me because of you. Meaning, Hashem made sure I don't go into Eretz Yisrael for your benefit. Not because of you, that you caused it. It's for your benefit, that if I go into Eretz Yisrael and I build the Beis HaMikdash and Hashem gets angry, then Hashem won't be able to direct his anger over the building, because I build it and everything I build Hashem doesn't want to destroy. Then Hashem would have to direct his anger over you. In order that Hashem allows you to survive, Hashem prefers that I don't go into Eretz Yisrael. If I don't go into Eretz Yisrael, then I won't build the Beis HaMikdash. And if I don't build the Beis HaMikdash and you eventually sin, then Hashem could direct his anger over the building and not direct his anger over you. Like that, you'll be able to survive. That means that Hashem became angry at me for your benefit. That I don't go into Eretz Yisrael is for your benefit, that eventually, unfortunately, you will sin, and eventually Hashem will be able to direct his wrath over the Beis HaMikdash and not destroy you. Sefer Shemer Rosh now goes on to explain the Psukim. And he says that the Pasuk says, V'schanon el Hashem bo eisa hi leimor. I prayed to Hashem, written Yudke Vavke, at that time saying. It's not written V'schanon, I prayed bo eisa hi leimor, at that time saying, but it's emphasizing V'schanon el Hashem. I prayed to Hashem. I prayed towards Yudke Vavke. Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to say that his prayer wasn't for selfish reasons, that he just wants to go into Eretz Yisrael. He's praying that he wants to go into Eretz Yisrael to make sure that this will be a kovet shemayim, ana to Hashem, that it will be that the name of Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, won't have to be read anymore as Adne Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. The name of Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, will be read also as Yud Kei Vav Kei. How does Moshe Rabbeinu intend to accomplish that the name of Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, should be read Yud Kei Vav Kei? Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Adonai Elohim, that Hashem Elohim, my God, which is written Aleph Dalet Nun Yud and Yud Kei Vav Kei, which the numerical value of both together are numerical value 91, because the Aleph is 1, the Dalet is 4, that's 5, the Nun is 50, that's 55, then the Yud is 10, that's 65, and then we know that Yud Kei Vav Kei is 26, meaning the Yud is 10, the He is 5, that's 15, the Vav is 6, that's 21, and the other He is 5, that's 26. So if you add together 65 and 26, you get the numerical value of 91. That means that Adonai Elohim together is the numerical value 91, and 91 is the exact numerical value of Sukkah. Sukkah is a Samach, is 60, the Vav is 6, that's 66, Kaf is 20, that's 86, and then the He is 5, that's 91. That means Hashem Elohim is numerical value 91, which is the same numerical value of Sukkah. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu was saying that he wants to make sure that the name of Hashem will be Yud Kei Vav Kei by protecting the Jewish people like a Sukkah. Meaning that Moshe Rabbeinu wants to go into Eretz Yisrael and cancel the evil inclination of idolatry. And as we saw the Pasuk in Nehemiah and the Gemara in Erechin, that when you cancel the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination of idolatry, then you could call as you sat in the Sukkah. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying that I want to go into Eretz Yisrael because I want to cancel the evil inclination of idolatry. And if I cancel the evil inclination of idolatry, then I could make sure that Hashem's name is going to be read Yud Kei Vav Kei in the same way that is written. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ato Achiloiso, you started Laharot as Avdecho, to show your servant as Godlecho your greatness, as Yotcha Chazoko, your strong arm. Asher Mikel Bashamayim, that there is no God in heaven, V'oretz and earth, Asher Yase Kemasecho, that could do your action, Chogvresecho, and like your strength, meaning that I'm the closest human being that knows your greatness, And I definitely know that you are the only God and there is no one like you in heaven or earth. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu says that since I know that there is no other God, then I have the force to cancel out idolatry. But to do that, I need to have the merit of Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, Ebrono, please let me pass the Eretz Orza Toiva Shebevra Yardin and let me see the good land that's in the other side of the Jordan. Ha'ara Toivaze, let me go to Yerushalayim Valevanoin and let me go to the place of the Beis Hamikdash, meaning let me go across and let me build the Beis Hamikdash. Because if I build the Beis Hamikdash, then the Beis Hamikdash cannot be destroyed. And if the Beis Hamikdash cannot be destroyed, then your name is going to be one. But in order to do that, I'm required to go over to the other side of the Jordan and to be able to be there in the place of Beis Hamikdash in order to cancel out the evil inclination of idolatry and make sure that the Beis Hamikdash is never destroyed. And then we'll have redemption. And only then your name is going to be read the same way it's written. And according to this, the Baal Turim is saying that Moshe Rabbeinu is praying that he wants to go over to the place of Beis Hamikdash because he wants to pray that the Beis Hamikdash is not destroyed. Because if he doesn't go to the place of Beis Hamikdash, then Levanoin is going to be missing the Vav, it's going to be missing the six sacrifices that's written in the Pasuk, the Zois HaTorah that we mentioned earlier, which signifies the sacrifices that purify the sins of the Jewish people, meaning that Moshe Rabbeinu wants to go into Eretz Yisrael to make sure that the Levanoin is going to be complete, that the Levanoin is going to have the six korbanos, the six sacrifices. But if he doesn't go, then the Levanoin is never going to be complete, it's going to be missing the six sacrifices, because eventually the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. True that the place of the Beis HaMikdash is always going to be holy, but nonetheless, if Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't cross, the Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed and it will be missing the six sacrifices written in that pasuk, V'zois HaTorah lo'olah ve'lamincha ve'la'asham ve'lamiluim ulezevach ha'shlamim. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu is praying that he wants to go over and cross to Eretz Yisrael. But when Hashem heard the prayer, Hashem in return tells Moshe Rabbeinu on Pasuk number 27, Alei Rosh HaPisgah, go up on top of the mountain, V'soi Necho, and raise your eye, Yomo, V'tzofoino, Teimono, Mizracho, west, north, south, and east, Urei Beinecho, and see with your eyes, Kiloi Savor, Esayarden Azeh, because you are not going to cross over this Jordan. And Mefarshim asked a question, that what Hashem did to Moshe Rabbeinu seems to be something even more cruel. For example, let's say somebody wants to buy a specific painting, and normally he thinks it's unavailable to him, that painting. Then his friend comes and shows him this painting, that I have this painting, you could look at it, but you can't have it. That would be more cruel than saying that you don't have the painting altogether. Because once you saw it, your desire to get it becomes increased. So too here, if Hashem doesn't let Moshe Rabbeinu see Eretz Yisrael, it seems like it wouldn't be so cruel as having him look at Eretz Yisrael and know that he can't go in. Then what purpose did it serve, the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu saw Eretz Yisrael and couldn't go in? Why did Hashem in fact wanted him to see Eretz Yisrael? And another question we have to ask, that in fact in the end of V'zois HaBrocha, chapter 34, verse number 1, where Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu to go up the mountain, and then the Pasuk says, V'yareo Hashem es kol ha'aretz, Hashem showed him the whole land, Es ha'gilot, Adon, Gilot, Tildan, V'skon Naphtali, and the whole Eretz Naphtali, V'es Eretz Ephraim, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, V'skol Eretz Yehuda, and the whole land of Judah, Ad Hayom Ahachroim, until the last sea. Rashi there explains what did Hashem show Moshe Rabbeinu. Rashi says, Hareyu es kol Eretz Yisrael b'shalvoso. Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu the whole land of Israel in its peace, meaning everything that's going to happen to the Jewish people when it's peaceful. V'matzikim o'ichsidim liyos matzikim lo, and the troubles that eventually will befall her. For example, Rashi says, Ad Dan, he showed them until Dan. Hareyu bnei Dan, Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu, the people of Dan, Oivdim avoid Zora, that they are doing idolatry, and Vareyu Shimshon, and he showed them Shimshon, she'asid latzes b'manel Moshiach, that Shimshon is going to fight and be a salvation for the people of Israel. And then he showed them the land of Naphtali. So Rashi first says that he showed them the land in its peace, and then he showed them Dvoire Ivarak, which come out of Naphtali, and they are going to fight if Sisra. And then Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu the land of Ephraim and Menashe. Rashi says that he showed their land in its peace and its destruction, meaning that he showed Yeshua fighting with the kings of Canaan, since Yeshua comes out of Ephraim, and he showed Gidon that comes out of Menashe fighting with Midian and Amalek. And then he showed them the whole land of Yehuda. Rashi explains that he showed Yehuda in its peace and its destruction, and he showed the kings of Yehuda and their victories. And then Rashi says, Ad Yom Ahroin, he showed them the Eretz Amarev, the western land, Beshalvoso, in its peace, Vecharbono, and its destruction. Then Rashi gives a different interpretation. What does it mean, Ad Yom Ahroin, that he showed them until the last sea? Rashi says that it should be read Ad Hayom Ahroin, until the last day, meaning that Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu all the happenings that's going to happen to the Jewish people from now until Tchias HaMeisim, until the resurrection of the dead, until the last day. And now we have to understand what purpose did it serve to hurt Moshe Rabbeinu even more, meaning that's enough that Hashem should show Moshe Rabbeinu's Eretz Yisrael in its peace, how great the land is that Hashem promised, but why did Hashem show Moshe Rabbeinu the destruction of the land, destruction that is going to befall to Eretz Yisrael? What purpose did that serve? It only could hurt Moshe Rabbeinu even more. And the simple answer Mefarshim give is that in the same way that we know that if somebody is evil and he gives you the evil eye, he looks at you in a bad way, that evil eye could hurt you. So too, if somebody is good and looks at you and gives you a good eye, that good eye will protect you and help you become safe. Therefore, since Moshe Rabbeinu has a good eye, Hashem wanted to make sure that he looks at Eretz Yisrael and gives in Eretz Yisrael a good eye. True that it may hurt Moshe Rabbeinu a little bit, but nonetheless, since Moshe Rabbeinu is a good person, Hashem wanted Eretz Yisrael to benefit from Moshe Rabbeinu's good eye. Therefore also, Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu all the troubles that are going to befall the Jewish people, in order that Moshe Rabbeinu pray for those troubles. By him seeing the troubles, he's able to pray for the troubles, causing the troubles to become a little less. But according to what we just mentioned previously, of what the purpose of Moshe Rabbeinu was to go into Eretz Yisrael, meaning that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to go into Eretz Yisrael to build the Beis HaMikdash, to cause that there is no destruction, and cause that Hashem's name be read in the same way that it's written, Sefer Shemen Rosh says that the reason that Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu Eretz Yisrael in its peace and its destruction was to explain to Moshe Rabbeinu the reason why Hashem is not letting Moshe Rabbeinu go into Eretz Yisrael, and that everything that Hashem is doing, even the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu cannot go into Eretz Yisrael, is for the good. Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, you'll see the troubles that are going to befall the Jewish people in the future. I'm showing you that the Jewish people are going to sin in the future. And if they sin in the future, then I'll have to punish them by destroying the land and exiling the people. But if you go into Eretz Yisrael and you build the Beis HaMikdash, then the Beis HaMikdash cannot be destroyed. Then I cannot become angry and destroy the buildings and exile the people. I'll have to destroy the people because you leave me no choice. True that if you go into Eretz Yisrael and you build the Beis HaMikdash, then you will cause my name to become one. But my name becoming one now is going to be at a huge cost. And the cost is going to be the Jewish people. In order to be good for the Jewish people, meaning in order to benefit the Jewish people and be letoiva, I am showing you why I am not accepting your tefillah, why I am not letting you go into Eretz Yisrael. Because I'm showing you Eretz Yisrael b'Charbona, that Eretz Yisrael is going to be destroyed. The only way Eretz Yisrael could be destroyed is if you don't go into Eretz Yisrael. Because if you go into Eretz Yisrael, then I can't destroy the land because you will build the Beis HaMikdash and the Beis HaMikdash can be destroyed. Then the people won't be exiled. That means that I have to take my wrath on the people. Then the people will be destroyed. Then by showing Moshe Rabbeinu the troubles that are going to befall the Jewish people and the sins that the Jewish people are going to do, like the idolatry of Dan, then Hashem was telling Moshe Rabbeinu the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu can't go into Eretz Yisrael. And once Moshe Rabbeinu saw that if he goes into Eretz Yisrael, then the Jewish people will eventually be hurt worse, then Moshe Rabbeinu said what is written in Medrash Rabbah, Parsha Zion, Siman Yud, Ribono Shel Olam Hashem, Yomus Moshe Umeya Kayoitze Boy, let Moshe Rabbeinu and 100 like Moshe Rabbeinu die, V'roiti Nozek Tzipoino Shel Echad Mehem, in order that one nail of the Jewish people should not be hurt. Meaning, Moshe Rabbeinu was such a good person that he was willing to sacrifice himself and not go into his beloved land in order for the Jewish people not to be hurt worse. True, the people are going to be hurt and there's going to be also punishment, but the people will be able to survive. Then once Moshe Rabbeinu saw the troubles that are going to befall the Jewish people, the destruction of the land, and Hashem showed them that this could only happen if Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't go into Eretz Yisrael, but if he goes in, then Hashem can't destroy the land. Hashem has to destroy the people. Then Moshe Rabbeinu was willing to stay outside the land and not cause the Jewish people trouble. Then according to this Sefer Shemeroish, the purpose that Hashem told them right here in Parshas Veschanon, that you are going to go up the mountain and see the land, wasn't a way to tease Moshe Rabbeinu, was a way to explain to Moshe Rabbeinu why Hashem doesn't want Moshe Rabbeinu to come into Eretz Yisrael. Because by seeing the land, Hashem means, as it's written in the end of Dvorim, I will show you the land in peacetime and its destruction. And the destruction of the land could only happen if you don't go into Eretz Yisrael. But if you go into Eretz Yisrael, then I have no choice. I have to destroy the people. Therefore, the fact that the Moshe Rabbeinu sees the land is the reason why Hashem cannot allow Moshe Rabbeinu to go into Eretz Yisrael. And Hashem Yisburach should help that Moshe Rabbeinu's gaze, when he saw the land, should help us reprieve what we did wrong. We should rectify our wrongdoing. We should have harmony between ourselves. If we do that, then we'll merit to have Mashiach come, the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt, Bimheiro, Bayomeinu, Amen.